So we've been discussing the issue of an arev, a guarantor within a loan, and we said that there are three basic varieties of arev. There's the arev stam. In an arev stam situation, the lender has to claim first from the borrower. When payment is due, he goes back to the borrower, and if the borrower isn't going to pay, then he can go to the guarantor. Arev kablan is the second level. In that case, the lender, the creditor, is able to choose. Say, I'm going to choose either to collect from the borrower, or I'm going to choose to collect from the arev, the guarantor. And then the third one is the arev shluf dutz, the arev who's actually on the hook first. The creditor goes to the arev to claim payment, and then the arev goes back to the borrower and says, okay, now it's time for you to repay me. And what we've said, among other things, is that interposing an arev between the lender and the borrower can actually put the arev in the position of being viewed as a lender to the borrower, so that effectively in this loan there are two lenders and one borrower, or a borrower to the lender, so that there's one lender and two borrowers. We talked about this first in terms of the issue of loans that are extended from a non-Jew to a Jew. And the loan involves ribbis. All the loans that we're now going to be talking about are ribbis loans. They involve interest. So we said that in the event that a non-Jew is lending money to a Jew, and the arev is actually on the hook for payment of the debt as an arev shluf dutz, and possibly even arev kablan, then the rule is that this arev is viewed as a borrower as well. Since the creditor is able to claim payment from him, the arev is actually a borrower in a sense from the creditor, and potentially he is also considered then a lender to the Jewish borrower, and that's really where our concern is, because if he is a lender to the Jewish borrower, then he is lending to the Jewish borrower for ribbis. And we talked about applications, the letter of credit, bank guarantees, joint loans, and the like. Now let's talk about the other case. The case in which the loan is extended from a Jew to a non-Jew with ribbis, and there's going to be a Jewish arev. And our concern is that the Jewish arev, this Jewish guarantor, may be viewed as a second borrower in the case. As the Bris Yehuda explains it quite nicely in Perek Lamed Daled Ha'ara Yutes, the Jewish creditor's money is said to increase in the possession of the guarantor. That's the way we look at it, and that's why this is a ribbis problem. How exactly does the arev gain this responsibility to the creditor? How exactly does the arev become a new borrower? So a couple of approaches. The Rashba on Kiddushin Zayin Amad Aleph is one source, Vavam Abeza, I should say, is one source for this. If you look at the source sheet in source Chaf, deals with a case in which a woman says, as you see in the source, in the Isha Omeris, Tein Mona Laploni Ves Kadesh Ani Loch. A woman says, if you will pay so-and-so, I will take that as though you gave me money, and I will be Mekudeshes to you. I will be betrothed to you. And the rule is Mekudeshes, that works. So you never gave the woman anything. However, nonetheless, she is Mekudeshes. Why? Midin Arev. Like the law of an Arev, like the law of a guarantor. And what we mean by that is if you take a look at the Rashba, actually, he explains it. Kolomar, the chozer hu va'omer la, the guy says to her, when she offers this deal, the guy says to her, hiskad shili bahana zu shani nosein matana zu lezeh b'dibureich. What it says, though, is that the guy says to her, the man says to the woman, I want you to be mekudeshes to me in exchange for the benefit you receive when I listen to you by giving the gift to so-and-so. So there's an intangible benefit that she receives. It's not a monetary benefit. There's an intangible benefit that she receives because he gave money to so-and-so. And the same thing is true regarding an arev. The arev nami b'hahi hanad dekamehem enlei mishtabed. The arev binds himself to pay the creditor because he receives pleasure, he receives hana, he receives benefit from the fact that he was considered a trustworthy guarantor. You didn't want to lend money to so-and-so, but now because I say I'll back it up, now you're willing to. Oh, that means I'm a good guy. I'm considered a fine, upstanding citizen. So that's the idea. Now, this, it's important to note, is actually because, this is a ribbis issue, because it's viewed as being tied to the loan. It's not that the creditor is just obligating himself to pay something, but it's actually he's paying something within the structure of the loan. That's a side note. But the main point here, and this is the point that I want to draw out, is that the Arev's responsibility to the creditor comes about because the creditor trusted him. That's considered to be a gift, almost, from the creditor to the Arev. And that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is in a Rashba further along on Ches Amud Beis, on AB, also in Kiddushin, in which he quotes a Yerushalmi. And he says, V'anachon k'mash k'samti l'mala, da'asam b'sha'amra v'eskadesh anilachum l'kudeshes midin Arev ka'amar, uch'taima d'mefarish hasen b'Yerushalmi. He says, as we said already in the Gemara, that when she says, give money to so-and-so and I will be mekudeshes to you, that works. It's like Arev. What does that mean? Nase ha'ani zoche, I added in the Bekesef, le'isha miyad bala, v'chozer b'zoche la'atzmo. The idea is, what the Rashba is trying to say is, that applying this to a loan case, the borrower receives money from the creditor and then assigns it to the Arev, who then lends it back to the borrower. Okay, so let's put some names on this. Reuven is going to lend money to Shimon. This is much easier when we do this in Shir live, and we have names right in front of us at the table. Nonetheless, Reuven is going to lend money to Shimon. Levi is going to be the Arev. So the way we treat this is that Shimon gets the money from Reuven and assigns it to Levi, who relends it back to Shimon. That's the way the Rashba is looking at this from the Yerushalmi, and that's how the Arev gains responsibility to the creditor, because he is, so to speak, a proprietor in the situation. The money was given from Shimon to Levi, who then reissued the loan to Shimon. Now, does this, and that's why we'll say that in the event that there's a loan from a Jew to a non-Jew, we're going to interpolate the Arev. The Arev suddenly becomes part of this conversation. The Arev is in the middle between the creditor and the borrower. So does this apply to all levels of Arev? Is this always true? If the Jew is an Arev Shluf Dutz, if the Jew is an Arev who is on the hook first and foremost, then yes, he is like a borrower in this from the time of the origination of the loan. On the other hand, at the opposite extreme, if the Jew is an Arev Stam, then there's no discussion, right? There's no relationship between the creditor and the Arev at the time of the loan. He can only be claimed if things don't work out in terms of the general collection. What if it's in the middle? What if the Jew is an Arev Kabbalan? Then what will you say? So Rashi, Ramban, like above, will say, yeah, there's a potential role for the Arev from the start, and therefore he is already considered to be stuck in the middle of the loan, and this is prohibited. The Rashba will say, as we said above, no, there's no role for him from the beginning, because the Jewish creditor could claim it from the Akum, and therefore this is okay. And the Ran, as we stated already before, this is all, you know, the previous shiur, for those who are catching this on the audio, the Ran believes that the relationship between Arev and creditor is already formed from the outset. The relationship between the Arev and the borrower is not, but the relationship between the Arev and the creditor on an Arev Kabbalan relationship is already there from the start, and therefore this will indeed be prohibited where there is a Jewish lender. So we get to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Kuf Ayin Beis, It's in source Chav Beis on your sheet. It says v'chein ove kochav mishalavim Yisrael v'ribis, where a Jew lends to a non-Jew for ribis. Aser li Yisrael li oslo arev. The Jew may not be an arev. So what kind of arev are you talking about? So the Shach writes, it's in source Chav Gimel. He says, Asur li Yisrael Lios Arev Kablan. He can't be an Arev Kablan. Afilo Eino Arev Shluftutz. Even if he's not a Shluftutz, being an Arev Kablan is already prohibited. Mishum denimtsa shemamono shemalva misrabe eitzel hakablan, because the phrase that I used before in the beginning of this, because it turns out that the creditor's money is increasing in the hands of the kablan, in the hands of this arev. Vishtakachti Yisrael mi Yisrael kashakel, so it's a Jew collecting ribbons from a Jew. So the position of the shach is that this prohibits even an arev kablan. The shach did not even mention the Rashba, the alternative view. The Shardaya wants to know why. Presumably the reason why is because the Rashba is overruled by the combination of Rashi Ramban, that one view that said that Kablan is Aser from the beginning, and the Ran, who says that in this case, where it's a Jewish lender, the Arev Kablan is considered part of it from the very beginning. So, again, what we're trying to say here is, and I realize that this is somewhat confusing, but what we're trying to say is that the Arev Shluftutz certainly, and possibly the Arev Kablan, forms a relationship from the very beginning with the lender because he is on the hook to pay. And therefore, if it's a Jewish lender lending to a non-Jew, but the Arev is Jewish, then there is a bond between the Jewish creditor and the Jewish Arev, such that ribbis would be prohibited. That's certainly so in the Arev Shluftutz case, and it may even be, and the Shulchan Aruch rules it is, even in the Arev Kablan case. Quite frankly, I have to admit, I'm not entirely clear on why even the Arev Stam is okay. In other words, the non-Jewish borrower could go broke, and then the Arev Stam could be required to pay. I'm not really clear, but everybody takes it as a given. No one even challenges this. I guess it's because the existence of a primary option for collection eliminates the creditor or a bond at the time of the loan. But this is clear, and this is what everybody says. Okay. So, is ribbis in an Arev case actually going to be considered ribbis ketsutza, the Araisa ribbis? So the Rivash, in the end of Simon Shinhei, the Masas Binyamin, in the end of Simon Samach Zayin, they say, yeah, the Gemara indicates that it's the Araisa, because after all, that Gemara in Bav Mitziah in Aleph Amud Beis, which we saw way back when, in the, now it's the previous year, in source Yud Adalid, brings you a pasuk of Al Tikach Mi'itau Neshach V'Tarbiyas, and says you're allowed to be an Arev. So you bring a pasuk to permit the Arev in such a loan, which you then challenge because, after all, the lender can collect from the Arev. That tells you you're playing on a Del Raisa level, because you quoted a Del Raisa pasuk. And the Shach in Kuf Ayin, Sif Beis, agrees that this is, in fact, a Del Raisa issue. So does the Taz, so does the Gra. However, it's worth noting, the Shach and the Gra distinguish between Arev Shluftutz and Arev Kablan. I'm not going to go into it in this shir, but Ayin Sham, you should take a look, because it's fascinating. You'll distinguish between whether it is a non-Jew lending to a Jew or the other way around, and whether it's an Arev Kablan versus being an Arev Shluftutz will be key. Okay, what about if someone's going to be an Arev? Right now, what we've established essentially, and it's really much more basic than it sounds, I'm making it sound so complicated, but what we've established is that the Arev is a player within the loan because of the level of responsibility he accepts. That's the fundamental point. And therefore, if the Arev accepts responsibility for Ribbis, then he may have a problem going both ways, going towards a Jewish creditor or going towards a Jewish borrower. What about an Arev on a loan that goes from a Jew to a non-Jew, where he says, I'm just going to be an Arev for the Karen, or I'm just going to be an Arev for the Ribbis. I'm not going to be an Arev for the Karen and the Ribbis. So the Rama says, go ahead. The Rama says, that is fine. It was the Rama in Kuf Ayin Se'if Beis. And just going down the sheet here, yes. Source Chaf Dalet. He says, "V'imah Yisrael Arev lo be'ad haKaren v'lo be'ad haRibis." If the Jew is an Arev only for the Karen, ela yesh l'lika haRibis merov kochavim, and it's the non-Jewish borrower who's going to be the one to pay the Ribis. Oh, lehefach, or just the opposite. Arev lo be'ad haRibis v'lo be'ad haKaren. He's only an Arev for the Ribis, not for the Karen. Mutter. This is going to be fine. And the logic is straightforward. If he's an Arev just for the Karen, then he isn't lending or borrowing Ribis. Shkrayach, that's it. He's just involved in a loan of Karen, of the basic principle. In the Ribis case, so there is no Karen. He's just accepting upon himself that over time he will pay more depending on somebody else paying the lender. So even though the ribis grows, it's not the growth of something that the Jew is borrowing or lending, right? To go back to the phrase that we used before, the money of the lender is not growing in the possession of the Jew. That's the key. However, even though we just made it sound very straightforward, the Ramaz Heter is disputed in both cases, and we'll take a minute with that. Maybe a couple of minutes, depends how long it takes me to get confused. So, first of all, where he's an Arif just for the Karen. So the Taz does not like the Ramaz Heter. The Taz is in Kuf Ayin Hey. And he says, no, if you're an Arif on the Karen, that already makes you look like a borrower. And therefore, I have two problems. He says, first of all, that makes this a loan from a Jew to a Jew under terms which are karav lasacha, rachok lahafsid, right? We've talked about that term this year. Closer to profit than to loss, than distant from loss. Meaning, the Jew who lent the money is guaranteed by you that he is going to receive his keren, he's going to get his principal back, and he also expects to win. He expects to get ribbis from the non-Jew as well. Generally speaking, we say that you're not allowed to have a loan from a Jew to a Jew in which it is karav lasacha rachok lahafsid. It's more likely that he will gain. That's one problem. The second problem that he has is based on a halacha in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Samach Se'iv Yud Gimel. If you take a look in source number Chaf Hey on your sheet, Mutar Lomar Lachavero Helach Zuz VeHalvei Asara Dinarim Laploni. You're allowed to say to somebody, here is a Zuz, and I would like you to lend 10 dinar, much more than a Zuz, to so-and-so. I'm going to give you a fee. I'm giving you an amount of money, in exchange for which I want you to extend someone a loan. I can do that. That's not a ribis issue. As long as I don't then turn around and go to that borrower and say, okay, pay me back the zuz that I gave him. That's just veiled ribis, right? It's another way to give extra to the creditor. Also, the borrower may not say to the creditor, ploni yitim bishvili. Give me a loan, and as far as, you know, your fee, so-and-so is going to do that. Obviously, we're not going to be happy with such an arrangement either. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch in source Chaf Hey. So the Taz in Kuf Ayin Se'iv Hey says, if you're not allowed to borrow and tell the creditor someone else is going to pay the ribis, right? Here, the Jew, as the Arev, is paying the Karen, and the non-Jew is paying the ribis on his behalf. That's the objection of the Taz. So the Shach and the Nekudas Hakesef, I know already that you see the hole in this, but let's walk through it. The Shach and the Nekudas Hakesef justifies the position of the Ramah, his head there, on both points. He says, first of all, as far as your issue that it's a loan from a Jew to a Jew under terms that are karav lasacha rachok lahafsid, so the Shach argues, as we already said earlier, we quoted this Shach in the beginning of the previous shir in the Nekudas Hakesef, he argues that the Arev is not considered the borrower until he actually pays ribbit. And here, the Arif is not paying ribis. So there's no issue, right? That was the statement of the Nekudas HaKesef, that you're not actually in trouble until you pay ribis. In the beginning, you can agree to whatever you like, as long as you don't actually pay ribis. And as far as this quote from Kusamach, right, where the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to borrow from someone and have somebody else pay the ribis, the Shach says, what are you talking about? There's basis for leniency over there. He doesn't say what you're talking about. He just says there's basis for leniency over there. That's all that the Shach says. I don't really understand what that means when the Shach says there's basis for leniency, but I do understand the answer of the Gra, which I brought you in source Chavav. He says, no, that's not an issue. But in my Yisrael, the Ramaz had there, Kevin de Eno no sin ribis, since he's not giving ribis, the Arev, Avagav de Hu Halove, granted that he is called the borrower, as you've noted, Mikamakom Eno no sin Haove Kochav and Bishvila, the non-Jew wasn't giving ribis because of him. He had no personal debt for the ribis whatsoever. None at all. He's an Arif for the Karen. What do you need him giving it on my behalf. The problem that the Shulchan Aruch identified is where someone is doing it on behalf of the borrower. That's not, here the non-Jew isn't doing it on behalf of the Jew. So that's the idea. That's why the Taz's argument really doesn't hold water. In terms of further Achronim on this, the Chavaz Das and the Chidushim Huvayin Siv Hei sides with the Rama to permit even for a Shluf Dutz. You can be an Arif just for the Akum's Karen, and that won't be a problem, whereas the Avnei Nezer in Yeredeh Kuf Tzarites follows the Taz L'Chadchila. Okay, that's in terms of being an Arif just for the Karen, which the Rama permitted, the Taz is not comfortable. What about the other way? What if you're an Arif just for the Rivis? Then what happens? So the Rama said, you're fine, right? The Taz in Kuf Ayin Sif Katan Hey quotes the Levush, who says some prohibit, and the some prohibit happens to be the Sefer HaTrumos, who is before the Rama. The Sefer HaTrumos is found in Sirs Chav Zayin on your sheet. Avalim Amar Lo, if he says to him, Kozman Shema Osai Biyad Hagoy Atanosin Li Dinor Bachodesh, if the Jewish lender says to the Jewish Arev, as long as I have not been paid back by the non-Jew, you have to pay me rivis, a dinar per month, asur, says the Sefer HaTrumos. The Kevan Shem Hagoy Eino Porea Hu Chayev Litein Lo Rivis, since if the non-Jew were to fail to pay back, the Jew would be obligated to pay rivis. Nimtza b'achrayus ha-keren alav ad shi'efra'enu. It's as though the Jew is responsible for the keren until it is paid back, because he's incurring a debt until it's paid back. It's not truly responsible for the keren. You couldn't go into his property and claim it, but there is a level of association with the debt. That's the argument that the Sefer HaTrumos presents. Harezeh, meaning the Arev, kilov emos mi Yisrael, it's like he's borrowing money from the Jew and paying him the ribis for Omer Lo and saying to him, Kol Zman She'enosein Lecha Dina Ribis B'Chodesh Le'elocha Rishus L'Chalfeni L'Fro Lecha HaKeren. Okay, that's the position of the Sefer HaTrumos. So the big question, of course, is the Sefer HaTrumos is before the Rama. Where did the Rama come off saying Mutter and pretending that the Sefer HaTrumos doesn't exist? So the truth is, I've seen two answers brought in the Sefer Shalom, and I admit, I don't really understand it. I don't quite get it. The first answer is from the Shach in Kuf Ayin Si'if Katan Zayin. And the Shach answers, the Sefer HaTrumos only prohibits where the creditor cannot compel the Akum to pay. And therefore, the Arev becomes responsible for the Karen. So, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Node B'Yehuda, I brought it for you here in Source Chav Ches, who says, I don't really understand what the Shach's distinction means. And he offers a different explanation for what the Shach means, but I don't understand his other explanation either. In Source Chav Ches, he quotes you the Node B'Yehuda, Shekasav, the Divri HaShach Stumim, right? He says, I don't understand what the Shach was talking about. I think the Rama's heter is only where it is for a fixed period of time. The loan is for a year, the loan is for 2 years, with a known amount for ribbits. I'll in ain kitzpah ladavar, but if there is no cap, and as long as the non-Jew doesn't pay, the Arev is going to have an increasing debt, ze'asr. That, he says, is going to be prohibited. That's his distinction. Is it an open-ended loan? Is it not an open-ended loan? I still don't really understand what you're talking about. I don't really understand how this solves the problem. The Nesiva Shalom presents a second answer. It's in Kuf Ayin, Siv Beis, Siv Katan Tes Zayin. He says the idea that the Arev is responsible for the Karen may mean that since his tab for the ribbis, I rewrote it on the sheet just because I didn't understand it, and I figured, you know what, you can read his words and you can tell me what they mean. So take a look at Source Chavtas. The ba'ofen she'ein kitzba lahalva'a alula haribis lalos l'schum gavoa yorsimin hakaren. He says it could be, what he means to say is that where there is no cap on the loan, the ribis could actually become greater than the Karen amount. So we borrowed $1,000 and the ribis is $5,000. And the Arev ends up paying the Karen with an addition. And then he turned out to be the true borrower. So like I said, I don't really understand what he's saying. At first I thought maybe what he meant was that the Arev will just pay off the Karen just to be done with it. But if he does that, he's going to do it without the Tosefos, without the added amount, and there's no problem. Let him do that. I'm not at all clear on what's being suggested here. But the upshot of this is that the Rama says things that he doesn't seem to think are controversial. He says you can be an Arev on a loan from a Jew to a non-Jew for just the Karen or just the Ribbis, and the Taz doesn't like either one. He doesn't like the first one because being an Arev on the Karen makes the Arev appear like a borrower. And he doesn't like that because of the relationship that's up, Karov L'Sachar Achal L'Hafsid, or because it's now like the borrower is telling the creditor that someone else is going to pay ribbis for him. And the Taz doesn't like this one as well, because the Sefer HaTrumos said that you can't do this. The Arev is paying the ribbis as long as the Akum, the non-Jew, doesn't pay the Karen, and that's no good. Frankly, at least on the latter one, I'm very confused about what's bothering the Sefer HaTrumos on this. Okay. One additional item. There's a lot more in this issue, but one additional item for the sake of everyone's sanity. If the Arev is physically interposed in the loan, what happens if the Arev becomes the one to transfer money from the creditor to the borrower? So I'm going to give the simplest case. You have a loan going from a Jew to a non-Jew, and the Jew in the middle is an Arev Stam. Right? He's just an Arev. The first claim is going to come from the non-Jew, the borrower, not from not from this fellow who's in the middle. So we already said the Shulchan Aruch is going to permit such a loan. However, if there's a physical transfer where the money goes from the creditor to the Arev, now it looks like a loan between Jews. So the Rama says you can't do that due to appearances in source Lamed. He says, Im Yisrael Arev Alakhan Miyadao, if the Jew is the Arev. And he takes it from the lender, then Afa Pisha Osa Bishvilho Vekochavim, even though he's doing it for the non-Jew, also this is prohibited. Why does the Rama prohibit this? So his basis, everybody says, is the Trumas Hadeshen in Simon Shin Aleph. So Trumas Hadeshen's case, I'll say it outside and then we'll see it inside, is regarding a Jew who sells to another Jew the right to claim a ribbis-enabled debt from his non-Jewish borrower. In other words, I lent money to someone who wasn't Jewish, and he owes a debt to me. He owes me the loan, and he owes me ribbis on the loan. I turn to another Jew, and I say, listen, I could use some cash up front. I can't afford to wait for this. So I'm going to sell you the right to claim this debt, or part of this debt, whatever it is. You say, well, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take until he's going to be able to pay it off. I want to guarantee that everything's going to be okay. So I say to him, okay, here's the deal. I'm selling you the right to collect it, and I will cover the Karen for you in the event that he defaults. I'm not going to cover his ribbis. I'm going to cover the Karen. Okay, so now what's happening is I am effectively an Arev for the Karen in this loan. So take a look at the Trumas Hadeshen, source Lamed Aleph, last source. Sheila, Reuven Yeshlo Ksav Choval Anachi Be'estrim Zehuvim Ubrivis Bechol Yom. There is a loan out to a non-Jew for 20 gold coins, and there is indeed daily interest building. Ubala Shimon, V'amar Lo Kachi Menichat Yachov. And I go to Shimon and I say, listen, I need you to buy half the debt off of me. Behei Zehuvim, I need money right now. So just 5 gold coins, and you can own half of the debt. So you're going to get 10 back from him. And you get the same growth of interest along the way. And if you're worried that you may not get paid back, hine arev lecha, meaning me, I am an arev to you, avur karen, for the karen hezehuv mshalchash latafsi klal, for your five gold coins, to make sure you don't lose your initial investment. So chashiv ki agav na karv l'sachav rachak lehefsed olam. So the question that's put to him is this karv l'sachav rachak lehefsed? Because he won't lose, this person who bought into the loan. So the Trumas Hadeshen writes, Yerod diyesh lahachmir bedaver. I think you should be strict. Dinira ki agav na chashiv karv l'sachav rachak lehefsed. It is indeed close to profit, distant from loss. Shari Shimon who batuach b'keren shalosh layafsi boklal, because he knows he ain't losing. V'efshesh yagielo gamkin ribis v'revach, and he may make money on the deal. V'im tomar dekiyai gavna lo asir, and if you'll say it's not prohibited, ho'ol v'asachar v'haribis eino bali ado miyisrael chavero elemen anachri, after all the money that this new partner gets is coming from the non-Jew. He says, nonetheless, I think that you can't permit in this case. Dahadasharin and Hassan, despite all the proofs he would bring, I skipped some of the text here. Dahadasharin and Hassan, Dematzi Yisrael, Lameve Arav Yisrael, Chavei Roav, Vura Nachi Balval Beribes. It's true that a Jew is able to be an Arav for another Jew who is a lender, right? That can be done. Hainu Davka Hecha She Yisrael Malva Ma'osav Lenachri Atzmao. That works in the event that money is going to go directly from the Jewish lender to the non-Jewish borrower. And the other Jew is just an arev for the non-Jew without being involved in the handover of money. So that's not like lending for ribis. But in our case, Shimon, the new partner, never lent the money to the non-Jew. He gave money to Reuven, expecting that the non-Jewish borrower will pay him back. So the transfer of money went from Jew to Jew. And since it is Karv L'Sacha Rachok L'Hefzi, because he's guaranteed he's getting his money back from Reuven, so you could argue this looks like ribis. It has, as he writes at the end, Igal Emer Vadai. I don't know what Igal Emer Vadai means. Either it's Vadai or it's Igal Emer. But in any case, he says, it sure looks like Merci Karibis. Ha'olah Mos Nitnos Miyad Yisrael. Zat Liyad Yisrael Chaveiro. Because the money goes from one Jew to another. So Trumas Hadashan says that because the Jew is in the middle of the transaction, it makes it look like he is the borrower in that case. And the Ramah, and this, by the way, the Nesivah Shalom in Kuf Ayin Beis Ches talks about using Tosfos as a source for this Tosfos Ayin Alfam Beis. I'm not going into that. But the Ramah extends the Trumas Hadesh's position further. Right? He applies it to the case in which an Arev hands over the money but has no claim at all on the money itself. In other words, the Trumas Hadesh's case is not truly parallel to the Ramah. Right? The Trumas Hadesh's case is a problem because he's actually a stakeholder. The money went from the new partner to the original lender, right? And the original lender was the one who had given money to the borrower. And then the borrower, the non-Jewish borrower, is going to be giving money back to both. They're all stakeholders in it. What we're talking about here in the Ramah's case is where the Arev hands over the money, but he has no claim on the money itself. He's just a channel. That's all he is. Nonetheless, he prohibits, apparently under the same banner of Merzik Ribis, it looks like Ribis, which leads me to wonder, so what happens if it's a virtual transfer? Now what will you say? In other words, what if it's in his name? What if it's not a physical transfer, but it's in his name? The money goes through his bank account. Right? I mean, you could argue bank account is ribis. Is ownership. So it's more than, it's stronger than where the money just goes hand to hand. But I'm trying to come up with a case in which it's a virtual transfer. Would you still have the appearance issue? But this is a problem with much more to discuss in it. Much more to discuss in it. But we're not going to be doing that right now. All right. Good.